You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire.
An estimated 1 million people marched on June 9th in Hong Kong in opposition of the controversial bill that allows suspects to be extradited to mainland China for trial. On June 12th, tens of thousands surrounded the government complex, and by the 15th, Chief Executive Carrie Lam says that she will postpone the bill. However, the next day, an estimated 2 million took to the streets again for the withdrawal of the bill completely. Carrie Lam has since apologised publicly, however, protesters are calling for her to resign. Pro-democracy group Demosito Vice Chairperson Isaac Cheng says the protest was made up of independent protesters and not linked to any organisation. To give some context, 5 years ago, Demosito sparked the Umbrella Movement, calling for the Chinese government to grant Hong Kong democratic elections. It stopped the city for more than 70 days in 2014, and it sparked a mobilised Hong Kong students and youth. This time round, the number of protesters against the extradition bill, according to organisers, exceeded amounts from when the protests happened regarding the handover in 1989. Hong Kong police, on the other hand, report numbers of 338,000. In an interview with Guardian, veteran politician Emily Lau warns that Hong Kong will quickly lose international support if there was any violence in the protests. She believes that the protesters have more to lose, asking what is more violent than the police or the People's Liberation Army. I talked to 95BFM reporter Justin Wong to understand more.
Okay, so regarding on the legislation, I must have to start from the really beginning because I have to go back to 1997 if all of us want to understand what is really happening about that bill. So the bill, the Fugitive Offenders Bill that we are talking about, the current wording of it is a remnant of the old colonial government, because since the handover in 1997, the wording of the bill has not changed. So when the bill was first written during the colonial government, the bill itself was written during the colonial government before 1997, and it didn't include any extradition toward other parts of certain parts of the country. So this bill itself, it's a remnant of the colonial government before the handover in 1997, because the wording in the current law explicitly said no fugitives can be extradited to mainland China or Taiwan or Macau.
So the bill,
because it's a very big way of distinguishing the legal system of Hong Kong and Taiwan, China and Macau are totally different. And the idea behind this bill is said that no one should fall victim because of the difference of these legal systems. And Hong Kong currently, after the handover, can only extradite fugitives to only 20 countries with agreements, and that was including New Zealand. And apart from China, Macau and Taiwan, who, as I said earlier, cannot extradite any fugitives in any way, the other countries who want to extradite a fugitive from Hong Kong, they have to go through a very long process, and that involves all three branches of the government, the executive, the judiciary and the legislative branch. And there is no one way of doing this. It's all done on a case-by-case basis. So every time an extradition process launched by a country that does not have a legal agreement with Hong Kong could drag on very long, because, like I said, it involves a lot of people. Basically, the whole Hong Kong government will be involved.
How did this new bill, where did this come? So currently, old law, there was no extradition to mainland China. What happened? What's behind this new bill coming forward?
Right, so the turning point of this was in February last year because of a murder. A Hong Kong girl was murdered by her boyfriend in Taipei, in Taiwan. And after the murder, the suspect, who is a Hong Kong citizen, fled back to Hong Kong before the murder itself was discovered. And there is the problem, because under the current law, Hong Kong cannot extradite any people to Taiwan, even though for other countries, murder is an extraditable offence. Because of the current law that no fugitives can be extradited to mainland China, Macau and Taiwan. There is nothing can be done. And the boyfriend itself was charged in Hong Kong for a separate offence and he is now in prison. Chief Executive Carrie Lam has called this a legal loophole because obviously when there's a murderer, he cannot face injustice. It's a big problem.
Is it specifically allowing extradition to any other country or specifically mainland China?
It allows the extradition process to go to any other country, right. But this is the main problem. When this law was first announced and they say it will remove the mainland China, Macau and Taiwan restriction, people in Hong Kong were obviously concerned because if the government wants to change this law on a basis to extradite this murder suspect to Taipei to face his murder trial, why do they have to remove the restriction on China and Macau altogether? And some alternatives can be also made. Maybe we can just remove the restriction on Taiwan on this law, and we can also include a sunset clause to it. And I think you know what a sunset clause is.
I don't know what's a sunset clause.
Okay, so and it includes a sunset clause, which means after the certain amount, after this date, we set a date, and after this date, this law or clause will immediately become invalid. It will be removed.
Ah, okay, yeah.
So the other idea that a lot of people want to happen, if the government wants specifically to fine-tune this law just to extradite the murderer to Taipei, you can just remove the restriction on Taiwan, then put in a clause that will invalidate the change on after a certain time. But it's quite questionable when it was first announced that the restriction on China, Macau and Taiwan itself will be removed as a whole. That means even though the government claimed this change was proposed for a single murder on one specific country, you removed the restriction on more countries instead of one.
Right, because I guess while this legislation has come about because of one murder, the implications of opening up extradition to China has greater consequences, right? I'm assuming that?
Yes, it is. Because there has been one of the biggest backlash of this law originates from the lack of confidence in the justice systems of various countries, especially in mainland China. Because I have to go deeper into the legislation on what the bill is about, because apart from removing the restriction on extraditing fugitives to China, Macau and Taiwan, the legislative, so even though the bill itself proposes several safeguards on human rights, such as not including crimes related to publishing, all fugitives cannot be charged under another crime apart from the one they are being extradited for, there are many cases of political dissidents in China or other countries like China being charged with economic or drug offences, even though apart from the political offences, even though a lot of people will know these offences are just de facto ones, they haven't committed these crimes and they are just being charged with another offence.
How separate are the systems from, so with Taiwan, Macau and Hong Kong, I don't know what the technical term is, but do they operate under that one party policy? Is that?
Oh no, legal system.
The legal system.
Yeah, it's the legal system that separates Hong Kong, Macau, China and Taiwan. Because Hong Kong itself was a British colony, it operate the common law system. So we, as we all know in New Zealand, because we operate under a common law system as well, we have a jury. When the judges in the judiciary make their decision, make their legal judgments, they have to rely on past cases. But in Taiwan, Macau and China, because they operate a totally different system, which, if I'm correct, the judges have to interpret the law themselves and rely on past cases, it's a very different concept. And one of the strongest arguments from the Barristers Association in Hong Kong is that because the legal systems are totally different, even though Hong Kong citizens were extradited to, for example, China, they are not guaranteed a fair trial.
Do you mind talking me through what the protests have been like in Hong Kong? Because I know it's been quite a public outcry.
So just over the weekend on Sunday, there has been another protest against this fugitive, even though Carrie Lam, the chief executive has announced legislative procedure of it will be suspended.
There's a bit of tension between cancelling and suspending, is it?
Yes, because suspending means, and because if you like translate it into Chinese, this the term suspend means just to holding up. But most of the people want a complete shelving of the bill to be removed from the whole legislative procedure of it to end completely. And the protests are for the complete removal. And the protest on Sunday now has the record for the highest attendance of 2 million people, which already broke the record last Sunday of 1 million people. So political concerns were also raised against this protest against police brutality and other political demands as well.
Justin has suggested that we get in touch with Andrew Little to ask what New Zealand's stance is, which I think will be something interesting to ask. However, it has been relatively quiet on New Zealand's side in terms of our response with the Hong Kong protests. There have been some interesting happenings, though, in the New Zealand Chinese media. So the Chinese New Herald is being criticised of self-censorship and reporting debunked claims on the protests that it's being stirred by foreign influence and that there is a surge of pro-extradition protests. They've since retracted the article, and the editorial team maintain that they always have neutrality as their priority, even if their team isn't the most politically sensitive at times.